Thank you, Jake. Well, thank you. Please be seated. If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 27. I've really enjoyed being here with you. It's really a great joy for me. And I know that you've heard many, many things this week, and some of them are very clear to you and others are not. And I exhort you not only to study God's Word, but to take advantage of this particular camp. You have a lot of wonderful individuals here, wonderful ministers here who are here specifically to help you and to minister to you and to guide you. That's the purpose of my life. That's the purpose of the men who have come here this week. That's why we're here. There's nothing more important in my life than you at the moment. There's no thing that's greater. There's nothing that I consider a greater honor than to be able to minister to this generation. And please take advantage. If you have any questions, you have any needs, you'd like to discuss something, the only thing that we're here to do is to love you and to help you. And it's our greatest privilege of all. Our Lord died and suffered for every single life that's in this room. In fact, He gave His life for every single person in mankind. Every person out there who loves and every person out there who hates took those beatings, and He hung on the cross to pay the price for the sins of every single one in mankind. Many of them are out there and they curse Him still to this day. Many of them could care less and think that His kingship is still a joke, like the Romans. Many of them curse Him in the morning before breakfast and curse Him in the evening as they get drunk. I don't, and you don't. It is amazing grace that God would give His only begotten Son for our lives. We should be so thankful, so humbled, so incredibly humbled to know that the God of the universe, the God who exists for all time, who lives in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time, the one who has created every living thing and every physical thing that you can see, feel, taste, touch, or smell, that God would so love you, so cares so much for you and for your life individually. And He sees your heart, and He so loves you that He gave His Son. You should wake up every day with a smile on your face, praising Him for what He has done. In our teaching yesterday, we looked at the sufferings of our Lord as He was beaten. Today, after He was beaten that night, our Lord and Savior, like I said to you the other night, the scriptures are silent as to what happened that night as those 400 soldiers had their way with Him. He was so badly beaten, the scripture says, that He didn't look like a man. And the next day in Matthew chapter 27, we'll start reading in verse 31. And after that, they had mocked Him, and they took the robe off from Him and put on his own raiment on Him and led Him away to be crucified. The word led could be understood as they dragged Him. They dragged Him away to be crucified. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear His cross. On the way, turn to Luke, please. On the way, on the road to Calvary, on the road to that place called the Skull, where they crucified Him. In Luke 23, certain events happened. and our Lord said certain things. And in verse 27, keep your finger here and keep it in Matthew. And in verse 27, it says, And there followed a great company of people, of the women, which bewailed and lamented him. They saw him that morning and they were screaming out, "Oh my God!" And they lamented him. They loved the man. And at the same time, they were wailing and crying. How would you feel if you had seen him being dragged down the street? But Jesus, turning, in verse 28, he turned unto them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which you shall say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps that never gave suck. Blessed is the day coming when no one is born. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and to the hills, cover us.'" Can you imagine that kind of day where people would pray that the mountains cover them and fall upon them? "For if they do these things in a green tree, at this time with me here, what shall be done in the dry?" What's going to be done when I'm gone? I don't understand this verse fully. I understand it in two different ways, and I'm not sure if both are accurate or wrong, but I'll give you my best understanding. What I just said, if they do this when the Prince of Peace is here, when I, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to preach the kingdom and the truth to God's people, is here, then what's going to be done? What's going to be done when I'm gone? The other understanding I have of it is there is a day coming. There is a day when he will return and God's judgment again will come. That judgment, I really believe people will cry out and say, "Let the mountains fall upon us." Because then, just like he said to that high priest, he said, "The next time you see me, I am coming sitting on the right hand of the throne of power, and I will come in the clouds." And he is coming back, not meek and mild the next time, ladies and gentlemen. He is coming back is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and there's no one on the planet Earth will curse his name. But that day is not today in the Scriptures. Today in the Scriptures, he says this to these women. Go back to Matthew 27. Leave your finger in Luke. In verse 33, "And when they were come into a place called Golgotha, which is to say the place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink." He wouldn't drink it because, as far as I understand, this was to reduce his pain. Gall was to deaden the senses and to reduce his pain. And he wouldn't take it. And they crucified him. It's a little word in the Bible. It just says they crucified him. They took our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they dragged him to that place. This other man carried his cross. The cross is a big pole, like a telephone pole. It wasn't as fancy as they make it out to be on the wall. Most people look at the crucifix and it's like this. But the truth is, it was a tree. The Roman government didn't think of much as spending money on dead men. They just took a post made of a tree, notched out for the person's feet, straight, and they laid the post out on the ground. And then they took our Lord and Savior They took him and they laid him on top of that post. And they took his hands and they put them together over his head. And then they took a nail and then they drove it through his hands with a hammer. And then they went down to the other side of where he was and they took his feet and they put them together. And they took a spike and they drove it through his feet. And the scripture says that he did not cry out. That he was like a sheep gone as dumb before the shearer. He would not cry out. And then they stood up that tree, that post, and they stuck it in a hole and it went. And this was about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then it says here in verse 35, and they crucified him, and they parted his garments, they stripped him, and they took the cloak that he had, the seamless robe, and they cast lots for it, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophets. God had foretold even this, that they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture they did cast lots. Then sitting down, they watched him. 9 a.m. in the morning, they dragged him out and they crucified him. They drove the nails through him. And then they sat there and they watched him. Look at Luke 23, verse 35. It says, and the people stood, beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the king, the Messiah, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also, they mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar to drink. They mocked him. They stood there while he was hanging on the cross. And the religious leaders said, he saved others. If he's the Messiah, let him come down. Let's see if he can save himself. And the other men, the other soldiers, they mocked him also, saying, you think you're the king? Have some wine, have some vinegar to drink, O king. And saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Matthew 27. At this particular time, a period of time went by. They were sitting there. And then they decided to write a superscription above his head. So they sent in and they went back to Pilate. And they said, what would you like to put as a superscription above this man's head? And it says in 37, verse 37 here, and setting up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. All of this was to mock him. All of this was to mock the true king of the earth. They mocked the true king of all the earth. And they laughed at him, and they scorned him, and they spit at him, and they showed him about as much disrespect as is possible. See, the Jews wanted him killed because he dared to say that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. And they hated him so much because he did not meet up to their expectations. They wanted a fancy king. They wanted a deliverer from the things of Rome. They wanted a conqueror. Because that's how they read the scriptures wrongly. They read the scriptures that we read the other day about Jesus being a servant, but they could not believe that their Messiah could be a servant. They thought that that must be about someone else or something else. See, when you don't understand the scriptures rightly, you can do some very evil things. And they hated him. They said he's a bastard child. They were offended in him his whole life. This man is going to teach us. And the Jews wanted him crucified so badly, yet the Roman government and Pilate, he couldn't even find any wrong thing in him. But because of politics, Pilate said, crucify him. It's on your head. And they stood there by the cross and they tormented him all that day. And they belittled him. And they set up this accusation over his head. And the Jews were very offended. They said to Pilate, don't say Jesus the King of the Jews. Say that he said he is the King of the Jews. And Pilate said to them, finally got some guts. And Pilate said to him, I've written what I've written. Then, verse 38, there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. When they had come out, originally they had two men that were brought out with him and crucified with him. Now you have two other men. See, the picture that most people have is you have the center cross with one on either side. In the Bible, when you read it accurately, there is the center cross with Jesus on it, and there are two on either side. You have it in your notes to see very clearly. You can look at it in your Power Fellowship later on. Verse 39, and they that passed by, wagging their heads, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and builds it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, he mocking him with the scribes and the elders. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, he says. Well, let him, God Almighty, deliver him now, if he will have him. You want to talk about putting something in God's, saying something to God? He trusted in God. Let God deliver him now, if he will have him. And Isaiah said, remember we read, that he was smitten. They thought that he was smitten, smitten of God and afflicted. Yet God said, he was doing my will. And the thieves also which were crucified him cast the same into his teeth. These two thieves both cast the same kind of ridicule, the same condemnation into his teeth. But if you go, and I'll show you the other ones that were crucified him, go to Luke 23 again. While he is hanging there in pain and in agony, beaten beyond recognition, held up by nails in his feet and in his hands. He's got these wonderful people acting in such a manner to torment him to his last moment. And then in Luke 23 and verse 39, it says, and one of the malefactors, see, there's two thieves and there are two malefactors that are hanging there with him. And one of the malefactors, which were hanging, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, Save thyself. He said this as soon as they hung up the accusation. He says, hey, if you're the king over there, save thyself. But the other answering and rebuked him, saying, dost not thou fear God, seeing that thou art of the same condemnation? You're going to die too. Don't you fear God at all? For we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. The only man in these 40 hours to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ was a man who was condemned to death. And the Lord said unto him, I'm telling you today, you will be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. That's from 12 noon to about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Our Lord has been hanging there on the cross since 9 o'clock in the morning. All of these events have taken place. All of this. The two thieves, they cast the same as the high priest had cast into his teeth. One of the malefactors also cast the same. Save thyself. But one of those malefactors rebuked that man and said, don't you fear God? And he said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There were four with him that day, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, it says in the word of God, I was numbered among those who were thieves and robbers. Verse chapter 27 of Matthew again, please. Verse 45, it says, now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour, from noon until three. It was black as night. About the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, at the exact time that the Passover lamb was to be slaughtered. As Reverend Finnegan shared with you how the Passover lamb was to be given, at that exact time that that Passover lamb was to be slaughtered, Jesus cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, Lamana Shabbatani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The true reading of that term here, the very bad translation. Our Lord cried, my God, for this purpose have I come. For this purpose is the reason that I am here. And those that were around him, they thought he called for Elijah or something else. And they ran and they got more vinegar and they stuck it in his mouth for him to drink. And then they said, let's wait and see if Elijah comes. Jesus Christ knew what he was doing. He was in command of his mind, of his heart. He knew the purpose that he was there. He never believed that God forsook him. He knew that his Father was with him and that he was strengthening him. He knew that he was doing the Father's will. And he said, my God, for this purpose was I spared. For this purpose I am here. Because he knew that he was the sacrifice for sin, for all mankind. And he did it willingly. He did it lovingly, doing it for his God, for our God, that we could have the privilege of saying that he is our God. And then it says in verse 50, sometime during and right around that time at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it says, and when he had cried with a loud voice again, he yielded up the ghost. He died. Before he died, it says in John chapter 19, sometime during this day, I don't know when it was during the crucifixion, but while he was hanging on the cross, he looked down and he saw his mother and some of the women that were with him. And he saw a certain disciple that he loved. And he said to that disciple and to his mother, he said, behold thy son and behold thy mother. Even while he was hanging on the cross, he took care of those that he loved. A man who never did anything except come to teach the truth, to proclaim God's love, his blessings, to proclaim God's deliverance, to show the power of God, the compassion of God, the mercy of God. He came, he loved, and they crucified. And he loved all the way through the end of his life. And he took care of those that he needed to take care of. What a man. That sacrifice was for us. He hung there for me. He went through all that for me. He went through all of that for you. He went through all of that for those who are out there who curse him this day. He did it for his Father. And then he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. And he yielded up the ghost. He yielded up his life and he gave it. And he died. The darkest hour of all the humankind, of all history, the Messiah was killed. And he gave his life for us. And if that was the end of the story, ladies and gentlemen, then there is no hope. There is no hope. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says that for the joy that was set before him, for the joy that was set before him, he endured this cross. What does that mean? See, our Lord and Savior has the same hope of being with God forever as we do. He has the same hope of paradise on earth forever. In a perfect world with God, as you and I do. And for the joy that was set before him, what he saw coming, what he told the high priest was going to happen, he was willing to endure the cross, despising the shame. Don't think for a moment he wasn't. He despised the shame of that cross. But he was willing to endure it for the blessed hope. And he trusted in his God. He trusted in his God, that God who had promised him that he would raise him from the dead 3 days later. That's a lot of trust, isn't it? He trusted that God would raise him from the dead. And then on the third day, 3 days and three nights later, God raised him. And the angel, he is risen. What a glorious day. From the darkest day to the brightest day of mankind in 3 days' time. Because if God had not raised him, we are of all people most miserable. And in that resurrection, God Almighty proved to everyone that he was the Messiah. Go to Acts chapter 2, please. Merrick last night asked me a wonderful question, and I was very, very blessed about it. He asked me very wonderfully, he said, when you first learned this, what effect, what change did it have on your life? How did it affect you? What changes came about in your life? It changed my life completely. I was a man going nowhere, probably a little bit older than most of you, and about the same age as some of you. Going nowhere. The things I loved to do was hurt people. That was my hobby. Was to cause people great pain. Beating on them. Doing drugs. Hustling. Trying to make people feel worse than I did so I could feel better than they. And I knew I was going nowhere. And I decided that I would choose to hate more because I didn't know how, nor did I really receive much love. And when I learned these things, at that particular time of my life, I was illiterate, functionally illiterate. And I couldn't believe that anyone could love me so much and have done such things for me that God Almighty would consider even me. And I chose to change. I chose to change my life. And I chose to do whatever it was necessary so that I could tell other people about what he had done for us. And I learned how to read. My wife taught me how to read so that I could teach. And I decided that I wanted to choose to learn to love as best as possible that I could possibly learn to love. And I wanted to share what God had done for all of us with other people. And I have never, no matter what has gone on in my life over all these years, that is my purpose in life and my purpose in living. And that's how it affected me. That's also how it affected these men here. After they seen the resurrection and Jesus Christ came preaching to them over those 40 days before his ascension, after the day of Pentecost, these men, what changed their life? What changed their life? What was their response to what has happened? What was their response to this man dying for them and God having given him as a sacrifice for love so much? What they did is they stood up boldly. Boldly. They spoke out boldly. They didn't let anything silence them. They didn't let their feelings, their emotions, they didn't let anything get in their way. They stood out boldly in the middle of thousands of people after being behind closed doors, after being cowering in a corner. They stood out boldly, and Peter stood up with them, and he said to them, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and crucified and slain, whom God hath raised from the dead, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David spake concerning him in the Old Testament, I foresaw the Lord, the Messiah, always before my face, for he is on my right hand, and I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh, when I die, I will rest in the hope, knowing of his coming and of his ultimate kingdom. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in the grave, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known unto me, David, God, you have made known unto me the way of life, the resurrection. And thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance, with your presence in that wonderful day. David had the same hope as our Lord. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with him, with an oath to him, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, he spake of the resurrection of the Messiah, that his soul was not left in the grave, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus, that Jesus of Nazareth, the one who was with you, the one who walked among you, the one who did signs and wonders, the one that you crucified, this Jesus of Nazareth hath God raised up, wherefore we are witnesses. Verse 33, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he hath showed forth this, which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, the Lord Almighty said unto my Lord, the Messiah, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. That day is coming. Wherefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you crucified, both the Lord and the Christ, the Messiah. The resurrection proves who he is. This is how their lives changed because of that message that was heard. This is the response of we who are to be his disciples. We are to boldly proclaim and hold forth this message of that this Jesus is both the Lord and the Messiah, the Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what he wants us to do. If you want to walk for your God and respond properly to what our Lord has done, this is what the proper response is. There's none other that I know of. No amount of feeling, no amount of hallelujahs, no amount of anything else. What changed those men and what has changed my life is what our Lord did. And what I have seen from the scriptures that he wants is for us to have the holy boldness to speak it without shame to the world. It's all I know to do, people. It's all I know to do is to hold it forth. And then you in your heart, you make up your commitment to Him. Because there's no greater thing that I know in life that's worth living for. For we have the same hope that He has. Gracious Heavenly Father, You are an awesome, awesome God. And we certainly love You. Your amazing grace, Your salvation by grace, Father, is just awesome. Our Lord paid the price. And yet, Father, help us to make the commitment that You would have us to make. Help us to keep Him, Lord, in our life and to never be ashamed to speak, to never be ashamed to sing, to never be ashamed to proclaim that which He has done. And God, You are to be praised in all things. For without You, my God, we would not exist and we would have absolutely no hope. Father, I love You. Thank You for the privilege that it's been to be here this day and to do these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
Oh, when shall I see Jesus and reign with Him above, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning, and from the flowing fountain drink everlasting love, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. But now I am a soldier, my captain's gone before, and I hear the trumpet sound in that drawing. He's given me my orders, and He gives me neck in form, till I hear the trumpet sound in that drawing. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morning. When shall I be delivered from this vain world of sin, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morning, that morn, and with my blessed Jesus drink endless pleasures in, and shall hear the trumpet sound in that morn, in that morn. Oh, shout with glory, I shall mount above the skies, when I hear the trumpet sound in that morn.